Discover Hockey. For more information about Discover Hockey and to register, visit discoverhockey.com.
At Toyota, safety's always included. That's why our vehicles come with Toyota Safety Sense. It's a suite of intelligent safety features that other car companies charge extra for. Why would safety be extra? That's like buying a TV and finding out the remote is extra. It's time to Toyota. Finance a 2020 Highlander LE all-wheel drive for 1.99% for 60 months. Visit your local Prairie Toyota dealer for more details.
It's a whole new season, and the game has changed. Are you ready? Neutral vodka soda, new flavors, no added sugar, no preservatives, and 0 grams of carbs. Neutral, the official vodka and vodka soda of the NHL.
It's time to say goodbye to your dealership. At Motorworks, they can diagnose and repair your BMW with the latest software and tools without the high prices. Trust your BMW with the best. Motorworks, on 51st Ave and 3rd Street Southeast.
On the air, online, on the Sportsnet app, and always on your smart speaker. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, is live from the Iconic Studio, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. Community, it's Iconic. Follow them on Twitter at Iconic EC. Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary. This is CFAC 960 AM, broadcasting from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Sportsnet 960, The Fan. Stream at sportsnet.ca/960. Owned and operated by Rogers Sports and Media. Serving all sports fans of Calgary and Southern Alberta. This is Sportsnet 960, The Fan. On your radio, streaming online, and through the Sportsnet mobile app. We are live 24/7 on your smart speaker. Play Sportsnet 960, The Fan, Calgary. From the Iconic Studio, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls, this is Trending Now.
After not playing last season, the CFL has released its schedule for a potential 2021 season today. The schedule features a full slate of games, with the season kicking off on June 10th and concluding with the 108th Grey Cup in Hamilton on November 21st. The Toronto Raptors have announced that they will not be playing home games in Toronto to start the upcoming NBA season. After failing to reach an agreement with the Canadian government, the team will instead play home games in Tampa Bay, Florida. The NBA season is set to tip off on December 22nd, with training camps opening on December 1st. But before the NBA tips off, an important part of the offseason starts this afternoon when free agency officially opens up at 4 p.m. And with Drew Brees sidelined for the time being, the New Orleans Saints are reportedly set to start Taysom Hill at quarterback instead of former first overall pick Jameis Winston. Hill has done it all in his time with the Saints, playing special teams and at times lining up as a wide receiver. The Saints host Atlanta at 11 a.m. on Sunday. You're listening to Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Your afternoon radio routine. This is The Big Show with Steinberg, Nault, and Klein. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, feels like things are a little more positive today when it comes to the NHL and their conversations with the NHLPA. Story from earlier in the week painted the picture of a pretty upset Players Association after another big ask from NHL owners, that ask to defer money again for the upcoming season from 10 to 20, or maybe up to 26%, depending on which proposal. And we talked about that yesterday, and we talked about how, in a lot of ways, you can kind of see the frustration from the player's side, but the necessity on the owner's side. But listen to Elliot Friedman with the guys this morning. This is Elliot on with Boomer and the gang today. Sounds like things have cooled down a little bit over the last couple of days, which is definitely good news.
On Wednesday, when I was looking to get information about what was kind of going on, everybody got back to me. You know, you have days in this business where people don't get back to you, and you have days in this business where everybody does. And that day on Wednesday, everybody wanted to be heard. Yesterday, I got a lot of, you know, Wednesday was an emotional day. We want to tone it down today. You know, we don't want to pour gasoline on the fire. And that says to me that this is not about, this is not a time for rhetoric, that people think it's important to get the deal done. And while we've been given a bit of a train derailment, I guess, you know, like, they look at it like there's a bigger picture here, and they have to find a way to solve the problem.
And guys, I think that goes back to what we were talking about yesterday. It really, we were all kind of the same mind, Will, that it really doesn't do anybody any good if they don't figure this out. And if the players have to defer more salary than they were expecting, I'm not saying they should just take that lying down, but at the same time, it's still better than not playing at all. And that's kind of exactly what Elliot Friedman's talking about there, and that it seems like things have maybe cooled down a little bit. So maybe some good news there for you on a Friday afternoon as we move closer to hopefully an announcement as to when next season starts.
Yeah, I mean, and I always love you, Pat, because you always look at everything with the glass half full. And
I
we
try
need more
to.
People. We need more people with your attitude in this world. But bottom line is, there's certainly no news in that clip from Elliot Friedman. Nothing has essentially changed. It's great the mindset has changed, but there is still this agreement that's got to, you know, come from the two sides. And, you know, as you say, we're all on the same page. This is not going to be something that's going to completely derail the season. But yes, I think overall in a shell, if you're looking at this today, it's a lot better than what it was yesterday, or even certainly what it was on Wednesday. And I think that's the direction everyone's hoping to get to, Klein. It's not like we're waiting, you know, expecting an announcement in 2 hours time on this Friday. But as we head into the weekend, maybe the sides continue to talk maybe in their own camp, and then obviously come together again next week. It's better to do that. And we say this in all walks of life. You never want to make decisions when you're pissed off or angry. And it's good on the, you know, both sides here to take some time. But by no means is there any news in that Elliot clip. And we'll have to still wait and see to you know, what the agreement is. But, you know, from where it was 2 days ago, it's certainly a positive.
Yeah, there could have been a world where each side was screw you, well, screw you, and then telling everyone screw those guys. Like, there was absolutely a world where this fully broke into Major League Baseball, but this is basically just how arguments and relationships go. You have the one day where there's the argument, that was Wednesday. Thursday, you think of all the things you should have said while you're in the shower, and then today is the day where everyone's cooled off and cooler heads are going to prevail and you're going to look at this thing logically. I think that's where
it sounds
the
very
NHL
personal.
Is at right now. Hey, look, was it specific? I don't know. But but no, when you look at how this is, like, the logical way for this to play out is for both sides to be pissed off at each other for a little bit. Apparently the NHL Players Association blindsided by this. That would probably suck. And so they need some time to deal with that and to digest the information they were given. But the most logical way, Pat, for this whole thing to end is to have these two sides come to some form of an agreement. Because as we said yesterday, it's dire right now, the financial situation for both players and owners, and understand to whatever extent billionaires and millionaires can have dire financial situations.
Right.
But this is like not where either of these sides are used to being, but the worst place would be no hockey. Like, that doesn't help anyone. So I think in terms of figuring out what these two sides need to get figured out, I think it's going to come. It just might be with a few more bad words than we saw last time.
So we're underway. Hour two of the big show is underway on this Friday. Happy Friday. He's Peter Klein. He's Will Nault. He's Logan Gordon. My name is Pat Steinberg. We're live in our Iconic studio, powered by Iconic Electric and Controls. Excellence, it's Iconic. Contact them today at iconicec.ca. So let's dive in a little bit as to what we think we know about what next season could look like. It's all very speculative right now, and we don't have anything for certain because there's still an agreement on money that needs to be figured out between the players and the owners. But Klein, Elliott says a 60-game schedule is already in place right now, so it sounds like 60 is kind of the target number. It doesn't necessarily mean that's going to be what it ends up as, but 60 as a target number, is that enough for you? And I think everybody's got a different feel on that, but is that enough for you for it to be a legit NHL season, for it to feel like they played something full, and that when they give out the Stanley Cup, that it was a legitimate year?
Oh, absolutely, yes. Yeah, and when you consider that they're going to be doing that in just an absolute sprint, in another battle of attrition sort of a way, then yeah, no, I would completely look at it legitimately. Like, you look at the 94-95 season that was shortened because of a lockout. They only get 48 games in that one, and I have no problem declaring the New Jersey Devils the champions of that season. The style of play would then ruin hockey for a decade. But I still, like, I don't put an asterisk on that just because of how few games are played. Will, when you look at 60 games played in that short amount of time, I'm not going to say, well, this will be more difficult than any other season, but I have no problem with considering this year legitimate compared to any other 82-game season.
Yeah, I always laugh at these conversations. Like, it's not like we're talking about them playing 38 games. Like, it's right. 60. This is well over half. This is almost, you know, more than three-quarters of the way, or three-quarters kind of exactly. I've got zero issue with a 60-game schedule. I think that's a perfect amount, because you're not going, too heavy in the months. And we'll have to wait and see what the schedule actually looks like. But you're not trying to jam too much into a small amount of time in a year. And you're also not playing little enough that people are going to scoff at your schedule. 60 games is perfectly fine for me. I think anything more is too ambitious, knowing that you are going to be faced with cancellations no matter what. I don't care what anybody tells me. There's going to be cancellations. The NFL has had to move games, and they're the biggest league in the world. So if you're telling yourself the NHL is not going to, well, I have some bad news for you, because it's going to happen, because they're not playing in bubbles. So if you try to jam anything more than 60 games in there, I just feel like you're not going to be able to complete it anyway. So why not have a number that's nice and round that you think you can complete? And you're going to give yourself, obviously, the extra 2 weeks at the end of the year. At least that's what it sounds like, to make up games. And I've got no issues with 60, Pat. None.
Yeah. And I mean, it's almost, even if they do come away without having any cancellations, like, maybe the world's a different place by the time they start. And so they are able to do that. It's just prudent business to make sure that you give yourself some sort of buffer, because you don't know. And I'm with you. Like, the odds would suggest you probably will have to make up games down the road, and you probably will have to shift your schedule a little bit. So if that's the case, I mean, it would be bad business if you didn't leave yourself a week or two at the end. So I'm 100% with you there. And as for the other point, yeah, 60 games, more than enough for me. I had no problem with them. Like, it sure does feel like Tampa's a legit Stanley Cup champion to me after this shortened season. I have never once, and I can honestly say this is not to make a point or anything else, I've never once said to myself, the 95 New Jersey Devils or the 2013 Chicago Blackhawks, they're illegitimate Stanley Cup champs. It doesn't count. I've never once said that to myself, and maybe others have, but personally, I've never felt that. Those were two 48-game schedules, and I look at the Blackhawks and I say, yeah, they won three Stanley Cups in a 6-7 year span. That's a dynasty, and I don't look at the one that they won in 2013 any differently than the other two that they won. So yeah, I'm completely with you guys. 60 games is more than enough for me. So here's the interesting thing. So we're talking about potentially a 60-game season. So how does it look, and what are we talking about in terms of divisional alignment? And we've been talking at length about an all-Canadian division, Will, for quite some time. Well, ESPN's Greg Wyshynski reported on the four divisions that we might see earlier this week. This is kind of what he's been told and what he understands an alignment would look like. So we know about the all-Canadian division team and the seven Canadian teams all being in one spot. Then three other divisions. So you've got the East Division, which would be Boston, Buffalo, Carolina, New Jersey, the Rangers, the Islanders, Philadelphia, and Washington. The Central Division is the interesting one because it's made up of Eastern and Western Conference teams. You've got Chicago, Columbus, Detroit, Florida, Nashville, Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Tampa Bay, and then finally the West Division, Anaheim, Arizona, Colorado, Dallas, LA, Minnesota, San Jose, Vegas. So, Will, you'd have one 7-team division all in Canada, three 8-team divisions in the U.S., and that Central Division, all of a sudden you've got Eastern, Western teams in one. It's not ideal. It's not what we want. It's not what we're used to, but you got to have to do things differently if you're going to play this season. What do you think of these proposed divisions that we might end up be seeing?
Yeah, I think it's certainly the smartest way, because you're trying to limit travel, and that's exactly what it does by a region. I know that Canada, obviously a trip to Montreal is not a very quick flight, but it's the best you can do in the situation you're in. You're not going to have a 3-team division in the West and a 4-team division in the East, or vice versa. That just doesn't work. So yeah, I think overall it's going to be a fun mix. It's kind of like, I would liken it to, I know it's not necessarily changing up the rosters, but in terms of the division realignment for 1 year only, it's kind of like doing a fantasy draft in your you know, NHL EA Sports video game or whatever. So it's a one-off. I think it's really cool. It's not going to be something that lasts for a long time. And not to say that things were getting stale before Klein, but I'm always going to be open to something a little bit different as long as it's not messing with the integrity of the game. And this isn't doing that. So I'm all for it. And quite frankly, can't wait.
Yeah, I think it's fun just to have something different. And like you said, like, I don't think an all-Canadian division is feasible long-term just because of cross-country travel going through different time zones and things like that. But I think it could be a lot of fun. And you look at a couple of things that I take away from looking at what's been suggested here. To steal a phrase from Boomer, Detroit's going to get snot-bubbled all season. Like, having them with St. Louis and Tampa Bay and Pittsburgh and Nashville, I'm assuming they're all right this year. Columbus, I'm assuming, is going to be all right as well. Like, Detroit is going to get throttled all season. And also, we have spent the last decade where going through California has been an absolute hellhole of just getting curb stomped all the way through. And now, those teams finally suck, and we're going to miss out on probably a season of that as they're in a different division. It just doesn't entirely seem fair. But otherwise, like, this looks like it'll be a lot of fun. I'm very interested.
You're saying the Flames are going to miss out on California being junk?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What a glorious opportunity to finally be able to go through and flex your muscles a little bit instead of Andre Kopitar and Getzlaff and Marleau and Thornton just absolutely working you for 6 days while you're out enjoying the sunshine. Now, you go through there, it's a much easier time, and the Flames are going to miss out on that because they're in a different division.
I don't know.
It does not seem fair.
Will's been telling me for ages that he thinks San Jose and Anaheim are going to be playoff teams next year. So
no, that's Ryan Pinder. That's not me.
I often get the two of them mixed up.
Just ask Pinder how good and quick the turnaround was going to be in Anaheim. Just ask Pinder. I'm sure he'll be quick to recite that for you. Oh, no, he won't, because it's wrong. Never mind.
Elliot also suggested in his latest column at sportsnet.ca that one of the things the players might push for if they do indeed agree to this salary deferral is an expanded playoff. So kind of a tit for tat, and the players would push hard for an expanded postseason. Now, I know logistically, Klein, it's got some, it's definitely got some issues. It's definitely one of those things that because you're talking about a COVID world, and you might be talking about trying to jam a lot in a short period of time and all of that, it might not be realistic. But if it is realistic, if there's an opportunity for it to happen, I still am all very much for a expanded playoffs, especially if you're going to be playing 60 games. I think that if you can do it, if it works, I believe you do it, because it makes it so that you've got a little bit more time to decide and a little bit more runway to decide exactly what your playoffs and your playoff teams are going to be. I don't know if I'd be as strong about it if you're playing a full 82, but if you're only going to play 60 and you can do it, I'm all for an expanded playoffs. I'm all for it in an 82-game schedule, but I'm specifically for it in this shortened season, 100%.
In the shortened season, yeah, we've talked about the regular season before, and I'm not as into it as you are, but I think when you have a season like this where there are as many variables as there are, I don't mind actually expanding it just a little bit. Again, just for the 60-game season, you do also wonder at that point, are we going into bubbles again? Like, where is the world at in May and June and July? Like, what type of a thing are we looking at? And if you're doing the bubble and limiting the travel again, then I think it makes even more sense to do that sort of a thing.
Right.
Will, I think you and I are both on the same page on the play-in round or whatever for a regular 82-game season. But for 60 games where things are as weird as they are, I don't mind letting a few more people into the dance this time around.
I'll be honest, guys, I'm not on board. I think that's, quite frankly, a little bit silly. I think you make the 60 games more valuable by leaving it as is. Don't get too ambitious in COVID and just go with it. You know, once everything gets back to normal, it's back to October to April, and you're playing 82 games, I might be more open to the conversation.
So you're more open to it over a full season than you are over the 60-game season,
Well, I just think,
right?
That you're taking away the importance of 60 games. Like, I just, if you're going to make every team make the playoffs, what's the point? I already more than half your league right now makes the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
And I it's already the highest percentage, along with basketball, in pro sports. We're seeing, depending on what the division looks like. We've seen some really bad teams get into that three slot in their division. I know it doesn't happen all that often, but yeah, I just think that you're taking away the importance of the regular season if you're going to say, well, we're going to invite 24 teams to the dance anyways, guys. So, you know, look at last year, for example. You played 70 games. So you're adding 10 more to last season before the shutdown. And people were complaining about, you know, the likes of Chicago, Montreal, who were, you know, 9, 10, 11 games below 500 into the postseason. You're going to have the exact same thing if you do it over 60 games. And you talk about taking away the integrity. I can't get behind, as exciting as a play-in round is, I can't get on board with a team that's 12 games below 500 making the postseason. Mm-hmm. I just can't.
It's always been like, I've gotten more and more and more convinced that I want to see the expanded playoffs. And for whatever reason, it's been, hey, if it messes with the integrity of the season, I'm all for it. You make a really good point though. And Klein's of, I'm of the opinion that expanded playoffs for perpetuity, do it this year, do it next year, do it for the rest of time. Klein, you're like, do it in a 60 game season, but not in a regular year. And Will's the other way around. It's and you know what? I think that very, very well encapsulates how many differing opinions there are on it. I believe Pinder is completely against it, period. There are some who hate it. There are some who love it. It's a really fascinating conversation. That's one to keep an eye on.
Well, and just to make it clear, I wouldn't be necessarily 100% on board in an 82.
You're more on board for it, though.
I'd be more open to it, but I still don't love the fact that you're still going to have teams that are, let's quite frankly, to put it blunt, pretty bad making the playoffs and could get hot for three games and win around. I'm not a huge fan, but I could certainly be talked into it more on an 82 game season than I would be at any other point.
Everybody go ahead. Sorry.
Just to round out the conversation, Logan's going to go with the soccer format where the President's Trophy winner just gets the Stanley Cup and we all go home. Just to cover all of our bases here.
Win the regular season and no playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, just regular season champion, and that's it.
Let's do it.
That's the way it should
be. You know, that's how they used to hand out, like, all of our lifetimes, for the most part, like, watching Olympic hockey, we're used to the medal round, and we're used to a gold medal game, and all that type of stuff. Did you know that, like, in the 1988 Olympics, or the Miracle on Ice in 1980, they didn't have gold medal games. They handed out the gold medal based on the round robin or the, like, there is no drama a lot of times. That's the way they handed out a gold medal. That doesn't even compute to me that they didn't have gold medal games as recently as like 30 years ago. That is really hard for me to wrap my head around. Anyway, I digress. We'll see. We're hearing that American Thanksgiving, so next Thursday is kind of a floating deadline as to when we might hear about plans for the NHL and next season, but we shall wait and see. It might go beyond that, which might put a January 1st start date in jeopardy, but it does sound like we're getting closer and closer to some news. Guys, one thing we haven't seen for a while is player movement. It's been quiet for a long, long time. Free agents aren't getting signed. We're not seeing players get dealt. And really, the only things we're seeing right now is teams signing their draft picks from last month's draft. But Klein, it's a really quiet time around the NHL, and you're wondering if all of what we just talked about has a big impact on why.
Yeah, I just wonder if things have been quieted down for a little bit, and if we get a little bit more certainty around A, where Canadian teams are playing, B, what the schedule looks like and when we're actually going to start playing, I wonder if that kind of jumpstarts some of the movement, and if owners are kind of telling their teams, hey, let's chill a little bit on the whole bringing in guys for $6 million thing, and let's see what the financial structure is going to look like. I just wonder if teams now, in deciding is a Mike Hoffman worth it, or is making a trade for a Johnny Gaudreau or a Sean Monahan, is it financially worth it if we're going to have to pay everyone the full ticket, or if it's reduced it in some way? I just think because of all the variables right now, maybe once this is done, we'll see a little bit more player movement. Because I can't believe Mike Hoffman, who had 36 two years ago and 29 goals last year, and I'm feel pretty confident in saying he probably would have got to 30 if we didn't have a stoppage. I just can't imagine that guy's going to be a PTO somewhere. Like, it's crazy to me that some of these players who are available are still available. And I wonder if the financial uncertainty going into next year maybe has something to do with that.
Well,
yeah, I don't know what's the certainty of a schedule or certainty of a start date going to change for me. I don't think that changes anything. There's money to spend right now. If you're a team, you've got cap space. You kind of know your situation going into next year. I find it hard to believe that just because you don't have a start date for next season is the reason Mike Hoffman's unsigned. I truly believe we could be in PTO like territory, and maybe Mike Hoffman's the one exception, but I don't see a bunch of trades happening. I don't see a bunch of things clearing up just because there's certainty of a season. So I'm a little bit, I'm not quite there. I still think that we've probably seen the most roster movement already, and I don't know how much is going to change just because there's now a season started to or a CBA agreed to. I don't know how much that changed anything. People still have the money to spend.
Here's Elliot Friedman from earlier this week. We heard from him from his hit with the morning show today. Here's him with us on Monday, and at least on the free agent side of things, sounds like he sides more where Mr. Klein is thinking right now.
I'm thinking that once we know when we're going to play, we're going to get the answers on those ones. I think that's sort of like those guys aren't getting the offers they want, but so I think they're going to wait and see either what opens up or they're going to pick their spot. Okay. I've said it several times again last week. I'll say it again. I think I would be surprised if Columbus doesn't get one of the top offensive players still available.
We shall wait and see. Maybe that is all that it takes for a couple dominoes to fall, but it has been quiet.
But it sounds more like Elliot saying they're going to take the offers on the table. Like he's kind of with me in saying there's not going to be a bunch of money available. All of a sudden, Mike Hoffman's not going to get $10 million more because he waited.
No, but it's
you just got to settle for the offer on the table.
Could be, and it just sounds like that the decision being made and knowing when you're reporting and knowing what the season is going to look like. The only other thing that I could see affecting it would be a little bit more of an economic idea as to what the next few seasons are going to look like.
Where are you on this, Salt? Huh?
I think that. I understand why Elliot says that. Like, I think that we're talking about a little bit of a let's just wait and see, and let's just see when exactly we're going to be playing. And I don't expect necessarily Mike Hoffman to have two offers and now get six and at more money.
Yeah, but, that's more my feeling. Yeah.
Right. And I think it just in the end, it probably just puts a deadline on it and maybe puts the boots to the ground on some of these things getting done. No trades in recent memory. The free agent market is slowed right down. We'll see if that picks up any time between now and the start of next season.